What's up, guys? Recording this a little later than usual. I want to get this out for Monday, but what day are we on? Wednesday. Not too bad. Not great. But, right. So a couple of days ago, I put a question out on Instagram just asking, I was going to do a podcast. I want to get something in before we get a couple of guests in. But I wanted to try and get in a routine of doing podcasts more regularly. So I put a question out just asking for any kind of questions, really. And one of the questions that I got, and they've asked me to keep it, anonymous, which is cool. I won't really give names anyway. But they wanted to know a little bit about their training. Now, initially the question was a little vague, so I've just asked them for a little bit more info. And the training was, the original question was, I'm just trying to find the original question now and I can't find it, but it was something like, I train 3 days a week, which is the best split for me? So that would be, it is quite a vague question, so I asked for a little bit more. So really the kind of information I would be looking for, if someone wants to find or maybe even dial in a good response or a bit of a help for getting a decent program together. To follow through the week or the month or, mesocycle, macrocycle, going for the years, blocks, regardless of what stage of training you're in, you do need a good solid foundation to start from. And that's where you collect information to make that good start. So I asked for, what's the actual training goal? Is it aesthetics? Is it for health reasons? Is it for a competition? Or is it just to feel good about yourself? What is your current training age? So training age gets bounced around a lot, but I don't really see a lot of explanations. So training age is basically how long you've been training for. What experience you've got in lifting or training in any particular sort of specific kind of method. Any barriers that you might have. So barriers or hurdles could be things like, it could be work commitments, it could be kids. Even though I love my two boys more than life itself, but they can be time. I can't even think of the words. I'm speaking of last time, it's like time consuming. I've been up since 2 o'clock because my youngest was up. Woke me up in the middle of the night and I've not been able to get back to sleep since. So this is 4 in the afternoon. So I'm getting my excuses in for lagging just a little bit. So if I have a couple of brain farts, please excuse me. I'll get back on track as soon as I can. But yeah, I'm talking about other things that can be a burden on your time. If you can hear my cat, he's a burden on my time. He's getting on my nerves at the minute. It's a good job as a cool cat. So cats, kids. Could be work commitments if you're working long hours. It could be injuries. Could be illness. It could be certain conditions that someone might have, like medical conditions. They could be barriers. So there are lots of barriers and hurdles. You need to get those in order first and find out what these are before you start making anything into or getting advice from anyone. If someone offers to give you advice or asking any of those questions, then be very concerned or just be a little bit cautious. Right, so goal is to get to 12 and a half stone. It says currently at 12.5 to 12.8 stone. So I'm not sure if that's a misprint or something like that. Because if your goal is to get 12 and a half stone and you're currently at 12.5, 12.8 stone, then you're there. Just a quick side note on people are choosing a weight for your target goal. If someone asked me, if I have a chat with someone and say, what's your particular goal, and say, all right, I want to get to X amount of weight. I kind of follow that question up with why. What makes that number so special that you want to get to that weight? It could be, there might have been that weight before. So they might go back to a time when they felt a little bit happier, or usually when they're younger. Everyone wants to go back to a time when they were younger. And it might be roughly about, that's the weight where they were at that time. Some people I've never. there's like a word cut out then. Yeah, so some people want to go back to, or maybe want to go to a weight where they've never been before. They might have been on the larger side, or they've always had a little bit of weight they want to get rid of, or it's for health reasons, or in a larger person, they want to get to a weight they've not been for in a long time, or not at all. So there are different reasons for that. Sorry, I was going back to this. So currently trying to keep to 1800 calories and 160 to 180 grams of protein a day. Age is 38. Crying face. Why cry? Age 38, it's not old. Alright, so currently trying to keep to 1800 calories. Alright, so if did it in. So if you get any kind of calorie counter, so look at 12 times 14, 168, so about 175 pounds. All right, yeah, cool. So I like going off pounds. That's just a habit I've developed just from, because the amount of people, the amount of books that I read, usually from American coaches, they're all talking pounds, so, you know, you can't beat them. So, yeah, so it's coming rocking about 175. And it's so easy to get a calorie count, calorie checker these days. It's basically a test of going to Google, type in calorie calculator, and you'll get something. Don't forget all calories. Anytime you do like a calorie counter or whatever might you start off with, it's only a starting point. It's not going to be dead on precise. And I've used quite a lot of them. Some are better than others. But if you use anything to start with, as long as you're tracking your weight to see what happens. So if you find yourself at a maintenance amount, find yourself at like a maintenance level of calories. Sorry, I'm trying to talk and do something at the same time. Let me put this down. Yeah, so if you can find your maintenance and track your weight, and your weight staying roughly the same, might jump up a little bit, might drop back down a little bit, then you know you're on a maintenance, or roughly around that. If you're decreasing weight, or if your weight starts to drop pretty sharpish, you know you're on a deficit. If your weight starts to go up steadily over time, so I don't mean like it goes up for a couple of days and then drops back down because other factors go into play. So if you're going for a maintenance, if you want to check a maintenance, I'd probably recommend a good two to four weeks. If you're not pushed for time, just to see what your weight does, then you've got a lot of data then. So if you're weighing in 2-3 times a week, personally, I weigh myself 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Just so I can get a rough out there. So over a month's time, I've got at least 12 pieces of data, so I can get a decent idea of what my weight's been doing over that month. Any kind of calorie counter that you can use is pretty decent, really. So let's just put this in. So I've got me at this. 175 pounds, did I say? Yeah. All right, so it comes up here and it gives to maintain weight about 2,500, mild weight loss 2,270, weight loss looking at about a pound a week is 2,000 calories, extreme weight loss, so 2 pounds a week is 1,500. And there's a couple of calories over here and there, and that's took me a couple of minutes just to find a starting point. And again, it's just a starting point. So when you're going up at like 1,800 calories, one question I didn't ask at the time was how long he's been following those for. So how long have you been tracking 1,800 calories for? And how accurate have you been? Have you been using weighing scales? Have you been tracking your food through barcodes? Have you been using MyFitnessPal? Have you been weighing your food? So if it's not got a barcode, have you been weighing them out? So measuring them properly. Are you doing that every day so it's accurate? So there are other questions to that. So if you're tracking everything, weighing everything, logging it all onto MyFitnessPal, I probably recommend starting a little bit higher than 1800 calories. Okay, I worked out why these little cuts. You probably don't notice them too much. Probably just feels like it's like cutting from one, like a little splaggle, slight blip, and then straight into me talking again. It's I've got the screensaver on my Mac cut at like 30 seconds. So if it leaves idle, what happens? It goes, the screen shuts off, and it's kind of stopping the recording as well. So what I was saying before is I'll probably start a little bit higher. Depending on what your goal is, some people like to, like, you know, 4 week cut, get in, drop as much weight as they can, get the hell back out so they can go into a maintenance, which is fine. Me personally, I kind of like to go a little bit slower than that, only because I hate dieting. Maybe it's my Irish genes or something, I don't know, but I just really don't. I don't like cutting my calories too much, and I'm quite patient, so I probably go for a little bit of a mild weight loss. So I go for anything for about a pound a week. I can go to like 2 pounds if I really wanted to do it, but about a pound a week usually works okay for me. I probably, if you was just dieting, or if you've only just started 1800, say you've worked them out and you only started them last week, if you're tracking that okay, I'd probably go for 4 weeks, get in there, see what happens, track everything, log your training, log your dieting, log your sleep, do that for 4 weeks, and then from there work out what your new maintenance calories are. And I'll probably go on maintenance for another 2 to 4 weeks. Whatever you've been in a diet loss, in a deficit, I'd probably equal that with a maintenance block. Just let yourself get ready, just let everything settle to that new weight of yours. Just so there's no like rebound. That's what I do on that kind of front. Let's have a look at the rest of the question. I hope I answered that part okay. With a couple of breaks in between, I quite lost my thread a little bit. So 160 to 180 grams of protein a day. Yeah, it looks about a gram to 1.5 grams of protein a day. That's kind of like standard. But again, log that. Notice any changes. A lot of studies show that you can't really have too much protein in your diet unless there's other underlying issues. Like kidney issues, things like that. But from stuff that I've read and from stuff that way smarter people than me put out, I don't think there's anything currently suggesting that excess protein is damaging to the body. He says, I train one body part a day at the minute. Also use a watt bike for cardio and sometimes use the treadmill to simulate bleep test. Oh, cool. Okay. All right. So again, it's if we know what the goals are, we can dial in that training again. So if you're training one body part a day, it sounds a bit like an old school like bro split day. So it's doing different body parts for each session that you're in, which is fine. If that's the way you want to train, that's cool. If it's for strength or absolute strength that you want to be, or because I know that this person's trained for like strength goals in the past. So if you wanted to say ultimate strength was your your overall training goal, I'd probably dial it back a little on the cardio, especially the intensity. If you're doing it for like steady state stuff, just to burn some extra calories, that's cool. But when you say that you're using the treadmill to simulate a bleep test, if you think of a spectrum, so you've got absolute strength on one side of it and endurance on the complete opposite side of it, the more you dip into things like bleep tests and endurance based stuff, it's taking you further away from that other end of the spectrum where it's strength. So just be mindful of that. I can point you to some really good reading materials. If you guys, if you've got the scientific principles of strength, of the guys from Juggernaut, I think I've butchered that, the title of that book. Scientific Principles of Strength Training, and it's Juggernaut Training Systems. So it's Chad Leslie Smith and some of the other guys that from there. I've written that book. That's a really, really good book. It's not overly massive. It's just that it's a PDF as well, actually. It's an ebook, so you can read that on your iPad. And if you want to get into the details of for getting some understanding of how strength works. I definitely recommend that book. Such a good book. So training one body part. Personally, I like to do like full body training. So my current training at the minute, I'm doing 4 days a week. And, well, it's basic. At the moment, I'm in the middle of getting my knee looked at. I've got a Baker's cyst at the back of my right knee. So that's a big limiting factor in my training at the moment. So it means that I can't squat to depth. So I'm working around things like that. I can still do things like deadlifts off blocks. That doesn't seem to bother it. I can still do RDLs. I can do some wide stance box squats. That doesn't seem to damage it too much. But anything like deep squats without a box or anything like that, but when my ass is getting to my calves, that's really, it's starting to hurt a little bit. So if you don't know what a Baker's cyst is, because I didn't until about a month ago when I first got it looked at, it's just that's about the size of a marble. I've had an ultrasound on it. It's 2 centimetres wide, and it's just lodged in the back of my knee. And whenever I get into a deep flexion of the knee, this cyst is like getting caught in my knee joint. So when I go to extend, it's pretty painful. So that's why I can't squat at the minute. I've actually got a legit excuse to skip leg day. But I really, really do like leg day. So I'm a bit gutted about that. But yeah, so the more I would do normally full body work. So I still have a focus for the day. So Monday is usually a squat day, but I still do upper body on that as well. But my focus on my squats. Tuesday I do a press. Wednesday I do a hinge, and Friday I'll probably do another squat and a press. And I'll get other accessories in for that as well. So, you know, that's kind of like the bodybuilding type stuff that I'll do from that as part of my accessory work. I nearly put like a bit of an ebook together just to show how I plan my sessions. But you know, things that there's that many variations, things that you can just it's quite hard to do. I'm not a big fan of writing workouts for people, just individual workouts. It's I think you're always on a bit of a hiding on that. So for every plus of handing out a workout, there's probably about 10 negatives. But I'm happy to talk about training with anyone. Just drop me an email. So training, so injuries, shoulders are messed up, dislocations, but I still crack on. Make shoulder press and press ups hard work. So when it comes to injuries, I'm really lucky. I've got Ben Cole, BEC Rehab, based at our place. So I'm really lucky that I can just send people to him. If people come in injured, they'll do an assessment with Ben first, and then the information that they get from Ben, we use it in the program when they start training with me. Or if they need to do some work with Ben first, they'll do a few weeks with Ben, and then they'll come over to me when they're ready. So I am pretty spoiled that way. But what I used to do was, I probably send them out to someone anyway. I get to see, get a professional to have a look at it first, because personal trainers and strength coaches are in the most awesome, and they know what they're talking about, but we're not doctors, we're not physiotherapists, so if it's really bad, get that cleared first and then come back. And I kind of go off, for me, I kind of treat what I see. So if something's painful, so if a push-up is painful, let's find a different movement or a variation of the push-up where it's not painful. So it could be an incline push-up. So I'm putting a barbell onto a rack, maybe about hip height, and using the barbell to do push-ups from. Or if even that's sore, so what we could do then is maybe get a resistance band, hold it in both your hands, both one end in each hand, and put it over your back, and then we just do some presses. All right, so you get some light resistance band work. There's always some kind of variation, so find one that doesn't hurt, then we start working on that, making sure your shoulder's in a good position. When that feels pretty good, we can test it, we can build it up a little bit. So if you're on a barbell, we can bring the barbell down a little bit lower. Bring the barbell down a little lower, and that progresses the push-up that way, makes it a little bit more difficult. And as for overhead pressing, there's lots of variations of overhead pressing. Landmine press, for me, recently, everyone that comes to me with an overhead problem, so it's the AC joint, sort of getting some impingement, the AC joint. If we do a little bit of work on shoulder stabilization, so working on stabilizing muscles, rotator cuff muscles, work on strengthening those, getting to work a little bit more efficiently, so probably not firing enough, not keeping that shoulder in place, might see the shoulder blade start to rise up. Or you find it just hard to control that shoulder. That's where you start off first. Not even loaded movement. You can do some work with bands, doing like external rotations. Was doing one today actually. That one of the girls that we train, she's been doing some work on her external on her shoulder today, and she went through as like using them as fillers. So she was squatting, and then in between each set, she got like a little tiny mini band, like a really thin band. Not too thick, not too much resistance, and she was hammering it away with like external rotations going in different directions. So straight arm, external rotations, one with a flexed elbow. I've actually got some stuff on Instagram going through some of these, but I'll put something else together and put it on there as well if you want to have a look. So if something's sore, there's a reason why it's sore. Don't push through it. Try and find out what the root is. It might cost a little bit of money getting a physio to look at it, but if it's a good physio and identify the problem, then it's money well spent because it carries on your training. Hopefully you're going to be training for a long, 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 long time. So training-wise, that seems to be... So I've been trying to eat healthy since Jan, but trying to keep track since Feb 3rd on my fitness plan. I'm there or sometimes over the 1800 mark, sometimes way over. So if sometimes you're way over the 1800 mark, that could suggest that you've started at a real low point. So 1800 is quite low for someone at your weight. It's definitely on the lower end of optimal. If you're struggling to stick at 1800, why don't you just gradually go yourself? So there's different ways that you can do this. You could either start really, really low at 1800, and then each week maybe add 100 calories. So say if your maintenance is at, say, that 2,500, if you start at 1,800, you can go 4 weeks at 1,800, adding 100 calories each week, so it'll be 1,800, 1,900, 2,000, 2,100. So you get to 2,100, and you're still 400 calories below what your original maintenance was. So you're still finishing the 4 weeks. Judging on what your weight's doing at the moment, what your weight's doing all those 4 weeks, you're still... in a deficit. So that's one way of doing it. Another way is you can go the opposite way. So start a little bit more, maybe realistic, a little bit helpful towards your goal. So you could start at, like, say if maintenance is 2,500, maybe start at 2,003 and then work your way down. So 2,003, 2,002, 2,001, 2,000. And then, you know, just 4 weeks, you've got 2,000 calories, still higher than what your 1,800 calories were. So different options that you could do. I'm just saying there's more than one option of just choosing one calorie number or choosing one number and sticking with that for 4 weeks and hoping that you stick to it most days, because it is tough, especially on a low number like that. Feeling good mentally at the minute, keeping to the gym, but I'd... Yeah, so suffered from depression last few years. I'm really sorry to hear that, buddy. He does go on to say a couple of funny things after it, which I can't really say. he seems like he's in a better place now. It's so tough, and going on aggressive diets can be really, really tough, and it can be draining. So if you're at a place where it's tough already, just be mindful. Make sure you've got a good circle around you. Make sure you've got some support around you. Don't be doing this on your own. Drop us an email. You know, if we need a bit of accountability, buddy, I'm more than willing to do that for you, man. He's gonna call in for a coffee. All right, cool. You know where we are. He's local anyway, so I know that. But he's always welcome to come in. Yeah, so I hope that kind of answers your question. I've had a couple of, I don't know what this, usually I record on my phone, it just records straight through. I'm recording it on my Mac today, and it gets like 5 minutes and it times out. So yeah, I'm not sure what that is. So yeah, hope that helps a little bit. I'll listen back to it, and if I can add anything to it with another follow-up podcast, then I will. I'm blaming the tiredness and the frequent stops of maybe losing my thread a little bit. So yeah, hope that helps, man. I'll do another one in a few days' time when I've had way more sleep than this. But yeah, keep firing your questions over. And that's it. Have a great day. I've got in 10 minutes, we're setting off now to work the crew there at R5. And then I'm there till about R8. So I'll see you guys later. Have a good one.